Today's readings give us another opportunity to reflect on wisdom, what the first reading and the psalm refer to as wisdom. Jesus speaks of it as understanding, but I think we're talking about basically the same thing in this context, wisdom and understanding. The Queen of Sheba comes to seek, she comes to see if Solomon is as wise as she had heard about. She seeks wisdom from Solomon. Jesus gives some wisdom about the distinction between what enters us and what comes out of us. But to think about this, we probably should start with some distinctions about what people tend to think of as wisdom. In the world, wisdom usually refers to what makes it possible for someone to succeed. So a person who's good in business might be considered a wise man. A rich person might be considered wise. Someone who's a success in sports. Now that the Olympics are going on, people are thinking about sports. Well, who's a very good trainer or coach? Who has the ability to bring out the best in the athletes, and which of the athletes has done his or her training in such a way that the medal will be his or hers? So this kind of practical wisdom, that's not the level that the scriptures focus on primarily, although there's lots of practical wisdom in the Bible. I think if you go back to the original offer that God made to Solomon when he was a young king, you can see the different kinds of wisdom, or what we might call wisdom in a loose sense. God said, well, ask something of me and I'll give it to you. And Solomon thinks it over and he decides, well, I'm not going to ask him for more money. I'm not going to ask him for more power. I'm not going to ask him to be the conqueror of my opponents. What I need is to be able to distinguish right from wrong. I need to be able to see things as God sees them. And that was, of course, the right answer. That's real wisdom. And God affirms it and says, well, because you asked for that, I'll give you these other things as well, because that's fine. And that's what the Queen of Sheba is so impressed with. Not only his Solomon's wisdom, but also his wealth, his palace, the uniforms of his servants and everything, all the kind of incidental things. Nowadays, people probably are unduly preoccupied with what's the wise way to deal with the coronavirus. Now, that's been 2 years now of a certain kind of wisdom. And remember, in the beginning, we were told the best thing you can do is wash your hands for 20 seconds. Wash your hands for 20 seconds. Over and over again, we were told, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water. I don't hear anybody saying that now. The medical wisdom now is it's an airborne virus, and so now wear masks. Wear masks and keep your distance. Or you might think of, since somehow or other the political machinery has kicked in, I don't know what happened, but in the news is all about politics and the election. So people are striving to scramble for the top jobs in the political world. And one of the ironies about democracy is that the person who wins is not necessarily the wisest. It's the person who's best at getting votes. So that's what makes it difficult in a popular democracy. We say, well, whoever gets the most votes wins. But that doesn't mean that person is the wisest candidate. Same with the debates. Apparently there was some kind of an online debate. Well, the one who wins the debate is the best debater. It doesn't mean that that person is the best, would be the best administrator of government. Okay, so I'm just trying to sort these out, different kinds of wisdom. The Queen, and what our hearts are longing for is the wisdom that comes from God. The wisdom to see the real value, relative value of things, including earthly things. There's nothing wrong with knowing how to keep ourselves healthy. That's a right thing. So best ways to deal with the COVID-19, that is a kind of wisdom. But that's not the highest kind of wisdom, the greatest kind of wisdom. Part of the problem in our times is that people think that if we can defeat the virus, well, then we've accomplished the best thing we can do. It shows how silly we are. What do we want to do? Stay here forever without viruses? Is that a goal of our life, to not have a virus? Is the goal of our life never to die? Well, that's not a very good goal. We'll never make it to heaven. So it's a kind of lesser wisdom. Well, the Queen of Sheba is impressed with all different levels that Solomon has. But Solomon was gifted by God with something that this queen was also longing for. She was a rich woman herself. She was a powerful woman. She didn't need, you know, more gold from Solomon. She didn't need more spices, and she didn't need to learn how he prepared his banquet table. What she was longing for was something she didn't have, or something that she could recognize but felt was lacking. And that was this wisdom that comes from above. And at the end, if you notice, she praises him for all his prosperity, but then she says, "Blessed be the Lord your God, whom it has pleased to place you on the throne of Israel." So she is moved not only to be impressed about the uniforms of the waiters, but to bless God. You have something that comes from God. And that's good fruit. I mean, Solomon must have said or revealed enough to show this woman that God is the one who is the source of wisdom. She wasn't a Jew, remember? She came from Sheba. So for her to bless the God of Israel is quite a, what we would call in Christian terms, that's very successful evangelization. It's like he converted her to the God of Israel. Okay, so that's great wisdom. If we, by our words and actions and our way of life, draw people to God, well then, there's some deep wisdom at work. Let's turn to the gospel here. Remember, in yesterday's gospel, the Pharisees were accusing the disciples of Jesus of violating the rules about washing hands and other purification rituals. And that's when Jesus said yesterday, well, you're just being hypocrites here. You claim to be, and with your lips, you're speaking all these holy things, but in your hearts, you're not really following God. So it's an example of being wise on a low level, on a kind of insignificant level, being wise about how to wash your hands, wise about how to keep things clean, but not being wise about keeping the heart clean. That's what he called them, hypocrites. They look clean on the outside, but on the inside, they're not clean. Well, that was yesterday's gospel. Today, Jesus extends the teaching to let people know more about these different levels of wisdom or levels of understanding. That's why he starts out and says, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. I'm giving you something deeper than a rule about washing your hands or washing your cups and jugs and kettles. Or, if you want to put it in terms of the pandemic, I'm not giving you rules about vaccines and masks and social distancing. That's fine, but that's not going to make your heart clean. What really defiles is what comes from inside. Whether you catch a virus or not is not a moral issue. That's a medical question or a physical question. The people who get COVID-19 are not better or worse than the people who don't get COVID-19. That's not a moral question. So that's what Jesus means by this. What comes from outside, foods, viruses, money, success or whatever, that's not what makes someone clean or not. He makes it clear to say it's what comes from within that defiles. Now, what is this that comes from within? Because naturally we're thinking about physical matters and we're thinking about, what is it? I have, you know, a cancer or something? What is it that comes from within? No, he's talking about our use of freedom, our decisions for or against what is good is what makes us clean or unclean, pure or defiled. That's why he says it comes from inside. He mentions all these different things that defile us: evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, etc. Some of those look like very external things to do, like murder. Well, that doesn't seem like an internal thing. Theft. But it's evil if it comes from an evil decision. If you pick up somebody's money because you think it's yours, you could be charged with theft because you took someone else's money. But if you didn't realize it wasn't your money, you're not morally defiled by that. So it's not the action by itself that defiles in that case. So now this is where wisdom directs us to the level of our decisions, our moral decisions, whether we do what is right or not, whether we choose what is right or wrong, or whether we choose to do or not do what our conscience tells us should or should not be done. That's where we're clean or unclean. So it naturally leads to an inner examination. And you see how thoroughly Jesus has turned the story around. In yesterday's gospel, it was religious people accusing the disciples of being unclean because of something they were doing. Now Jesus is saying, well, this is how you can tell about what's clean or unclean. Look into your own heart. Look into your own heart. No matter what anyone else does. Maybe they're sinners. Maybe they're unclean. Well, that's their problem. Unless they come and ask you how to be better. But for the most part, we're not responsible for most people's moral decisions. Sometimes we are, but I'm just saying that the direction of today's gospel is look into your own heart. Listen to your own conscience and form that conscience according to the wisdom of God. Conscience doesn't make up what's right and wrong. We learn it if we get wisdom from above. So that's where I think the scriptures are richly providing us. That's what the scriptures are providing us today. Wisdom. Not just wisdom about success in sports and business and politics, but wisdom about the things of God and our responsibility to cooperate with the wisdom God gives us.